Neil Anderson is running for re-election to the Wilmington City Council. It would be his third term. So since you're going for a third term, that means you must really like the gig and or there remains work to be done. Which is it?
A little of both. I don't think of it. A gig sounds too fun. I do enjoy it most of the time. There's certainly many times when it gets a little bit more controversial and the decisions aren't as easy, and that's not terribly fun, trying to figure out the right way for the future. But on the other side of your question, certainly do have quite a few projects that we have either in the kind of in the works or on the horizon that I'd definitely like to see to fruition.
What would be at the top of that list?
Ooh, top. Well, I think some of the things surrounding the parks bond, although it may not even get done, some of them in the next 4 years, because we've pulled some of them back to kind of, for instance, the gyms at the King Center and at Maids Park to look at hardening them for hurricanes. They hopefully will still get them done in the next 4 years, but it would be done, but we're looking at trying to make those more hardy. The Riverfront Park and Amphitheater, the soccer park, could kind of go on, but just from that, there's a lot of others that were part of that transportation bond before that, sidewalks, things like multipurpose trails on Greenville Loop and on Masonboro Loop as well.
You mentioned the word hurricane, and we're coming into, you know, what has recently been predicted as what could be a busier final couple months of the hurricane season. And last year after Florence, a couple of city staffers mentioned that one lesson learned from Florence was that a number of city buildings are not outfitted or are so old that anything more than a Category 2 or Category 3 could do some serious damage to these city properties. And I'm wondering if anything has been done since Florence a year ago regarding some of these buildings that might not be ready for another hit.
Right. To my knowledge, we've worked on, I think, trying to protect some of our the communication systems a little better that went down at one point during the hurricane last time. But in terms of we looked at our new, it's a fire police shooting range combo facility that we was already a little too far under construction to make too many changes to. We looked at that, but it was already bid and already the walls were already up, etc. It was too far along to tweak. But that goes back to what I've mentioned about the two gyms, trying to think of a place to possibly have a command center, but also for citizens that for whatever reason don't get out in a higher, you know, 3, 4, 5 storm. And I think, you know, if you ask the county part of, you know, we usually command center with them in those type of events, and did it at the county building last time. And I'm sure you've read about or have heard about them talking about selling that facility or at least part of it and mixing it, you know, building something back. And I'm confident that would be part of that build back. But all those things are not for this year, and they're not for next year. So they're out a little bit, but mm-hmm. They are in the works.
Let's talk a bit about how the city handles economic development projects. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was earlier this year or last year when National Gypsum came back and the city gave them an incentive package.
Yes.
And does it always take an incentive package to get someone to come here to the city to open a business, a company like a National Gypsum?
At that size, probably. But I think what the city has done that I think the county does it, I believe. I don't understand theirs as well because it's just not in my wheelhouse, but I think they do it through the community college. But we do it with UNCW, where we have a, you know, entrepreneurial center, kind of an incubator, and we've had some decent success with having homegrown, you know, growing the business right here and having them stay here, Castle Branch, for example. So we're kind of trying to work it on all ends, but when they have those big, you know, household names, I think we can look back to a couple that didn't come here, Caterpillar, Continental, Those type folks, they're looking for that. I think the key to any incentive, though, for me anyway, is the payback, and not don't look to incent them on the front end, but over time with, you know, targets for the employees that they hire, targets for, you know, upgrades or new facilities, which are going to add to our tax base. And then we're also the third piece we only really started to focus on, I think with that project, maybe one before that, but fairly recently, is on the wage, you know, kind of a, what, you know, are we going to, we're not going to incent people to make below living wage, if you will, and looking for higher wages. And in the case of National Gypsum, that, that was above our standards or our average here in this, in, and especially it, it's also a job in that particular case that we're in need of, kind of that middle class, lower middle class income. We lack that. It's kind of, we go restaurant, you know, pharma, lawyer, you know, doctor. It's, we kind of have a, we're weak in that spot. So that was a good get for us.
Yeah, and the more of those types of jobs that are created would then take pressure off of the need for more affordable housing.
It's good. It take, honestly, it takes the pressure off a lot of things. You know, the more, you know, I don't know what you call that anymore, because that's those jobs are not, I think, what we envisioned from 20 years ago, 30, 40 years ago in manufacturing. They're pretty technical. You can't just walk in and start working there. We have to partner with Cape Fear Community College, get them trained up on machinery, what have you. But whatever you want to call that, manufacturing sector jobs are opportunities for folks that didn't perhaps go to college or have higher degrees, and that's going to cut down on everything from crime, how, I mean, etc. So we want to, I hope to see more of that, frankly. I'm not looking for, you know, terribly dirty industries, if you will, but we need some manufacturing, and hopefully in the 421 corridor with us finally getting natural gas over there, water and sewer over there, and hopefully eventually it's way out, but the railroad running out of town right at 421 bodes well for that corridor.
You mentioned the railroad, and you're talking about the rail realignment.
Yes, sir.
And I've sat through a couple of presentations on that, and my understanding is it would eliminate something more than 30 downtown crossings.
Right.
And it's also a $1 billion project.
At least.
You know, having another bridge over the Cape Fear. And how important is that for the community, and how likely is it that it's actually going to happen?
Well, I remember the first time I saw it, and when I was, as soon as it was over, I thought it was the most important thing that could happen in the next 20, 25 years in our community. When you look at, I serve on the MPO right now, the last year, couple, maybe two or three years, I've lost track, but the we got a presentation also. They did it at, asked them to do it at council, and we did it in front of council. Hopefully people could see that on TV. But it was how much the port is going to grow, and how much double stack trains, and how much longer they're going to be, and how many more trains are going to be. And you just start to envision more backups than we have now. Right now, the port seems to be of a scale that we get very few during the day, mostly at night. And most of us aren't affected by it, but we have a few during the day, and it can really jam up the city. Because it, you know, cuts, like I said, it makes it basically kind of a bell shape around our old, our core part of the city.
And these trains, of course, are long.
Well, they're long now, but what they were telling us, and I don't have those figures on hand, but they were four times as long is what we're talking about in 5-6 years. So you got that. You have the ports wanting to grow. I think they've supported the railroad realignment. I wish they'd be a little more vocal, because that would give us kind of another advocate that we really need. Right now, they're trying to improve those tracks that exist ever so slightly. That's in a $30 million range, just so they can get up 5 miles per hour faster. So that's, and part of that has some, you may not remember, but in recent times we've closed a few streets down here, downtown, to the railroad to try to, it's a multi-phase project to try to get that speed up. It'd be nice if we could just take that 30 and put it into the other, but from a time standpoint, that's we're talking now, need now versus something that's going to have way down the road. And to dovetail with your point about the moral bridge, that is where, you know, we talk about this cost in isolation. You know, we're just going to build this railroad, you know, get the railroad bridge across there. If you build it in conjunction with a replacement for the Memorial Bridge, all of a sudden there's huge economies there. We're going to build a bridge anyway. Okay, we can, you know, attach railroad to it. And that, you know, I don't know exactly what that looks like, but I've heard it discussed and it makes sense. So I sure hope it'll happen. Whether it'll be in your lifetime or mine, it's something that I think we have to pursue vigorously, because long term, as long as the port's going to be here, and especially if it's going to grow, that's what we need to do. And then the second piece of that is, you know, we've struggled with public transportation, you know, ridership and routes, and it's quite complicated. But if you can imagine throwing a trolley or two on that track,
mm-hmm.
that exists now after the railroads were moved from it, if you got out a map and saw the number of high density, medium density, public housing, et cetera, developments along within quarter mile of that railway, you've got a heck of a system that takes you downtown, and we connect a trolley basically on 3rd Street, and you've got a complete loop. And that's very exciting when you look, you know, 25, 30 years from down the road.
Yeah, it is. Because one of my impressions in the 3 years I've lived in this region is that the public transportation seems to be lacking, at least compared to other metropolitan areas I've sure. lived in. So the trolley idea on top of whatever kind of expansion to routes for WAVE sounds like it would help a lot of people.
Oh, it would be. I think you'd see folks that, I think the key right now is the people that ride WAVE are people that have to ride WAVE for the most part. We have very, very few, I just want to ride, you know, I don't want to drive today, or I don't, you know, choice riders. Whereas in, you know, you go to any, you know, San Francisco, you know, we're not San Francisco, but bigger cities, there's lots of people doing it by choice. Well, if you could jump on, you know, if you live, you know, I don't know, if you're a, you work downtown, there's a lot of lawyers with offices downtown because of the courthouse, et cetera, and you live a mile out and you don't want to deal with parking, you can just read your, I mean, it makes perfect sense. But again, we're not there, but, you know, I think you got to have that Laura Padgett was a big visionary on that. And as soon as I saw it, I get right behind her, because I think, you know, the cost, the price tags are huge these days, but I'm leaving in a few minutes to go to Norfolk, and they're building the HBT tunnel there, which a lot of our battleships coming in out of there, the whole port of Portsmouth and Norfolk, and their project to build an additional tunnel is $3 billion. And so, I mean, we hear that here, and that is expensive, got it. But every project these days is, the numbers are astounding compared to, I think, what numbers we used to hear, you know, decades ago.
Mm-hmm. You own your own business, right?
I that may glamorize a little bit. I'm in sales. So, yes, I have I guess you call it a sales agency or what have you, but I'm in the furniture business. So, I represent importers, manufacturers, and call on primarily retailers, interior designers, some architects for contract work and that kind of thing.
I assume it keeps you really busy.
I am self-employed, and I've been at it quite a while. I don't have to anyone really that I report to day to day. I don't have a someone monitoring my every movement. So that allows me to have the flexibility to do this. I'm not at as many, you know, luncheons and, you know, ribbon cuttings as maybe some of my retired fellow council members, and I also have 3 children. So it's a lot to juggle, but I try to prioritize things. And if I'm free, I go to the things that aren't even necessarily top of the priority list, but, sometimes that ebbs and flows. I'll be at everything for a month, and then I'll be at just the core events for a month.
All right. Neil Anderson is running for re-election to the Wilmington City Council. Neil, thank you for coming in.
Thanks, Vince. Enjoyed it.